Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with now a good friend of the show, Brian Lenny. He writes the JuniorStockReview.com website, which I will post a link below this interview to. And I know a lot of our listeners have really enjoyed what Brian and I have been chatting about over the last number of months and the way he looks at certain companies. We are going to get into a company because Brian was just on a site visit. But first thing, first, let's talk about the general market for gold and gold stocks. Gold continues to grind higher. Yesterday was another example of how it just seems like gold going by the beat of its own drum, moving higher. However, generally, at least the feeling I'm getting and seeing is that the gold stocks, really when you drive down into the juniors, but also kind of in a broad sense, the gold stocks are still kind of lagging this general move in gold. Brian, what's your takeaway from how gold is reacting compared to the actual gold stocks?
Yeah, it's really interesting at this point. You know, we've had maybe about a month about these levels above $1,400 per ounce, and especially the juniors seem to be lagging behind. You know, given there's a few companies that have kind of spiked on this this renewed interest. But, you know, I think it's interesting that there is that kind of difference between where the gold price is and where the company share prices are. I really think or suspect that the market doesn't believe that, you know, these are going to be sustainable over the long haul, and therefore is only maybe dipping their toe into, you know, the various juniors. I would say probably need to see a full quarter of gold prices above probably 1400 for people to really say, you know what, this is for real. We're in a bull market and there's money to be made.
So what do you think it will take, though? You just said what could maybe drive it and suck some people in, but is that it? Would it just take maybe just a solidification of where gold is currently, or do we still need, let's say, a breakout above 1550? That's the next level everyone's watching. I thought just above the 1380 level would be plenty because of the way it has performed after that breakout, but again, stocks are still generally struggling.
No, you bring up a great point. It's a really good question to ask. You know, what I would say is this. You know, the world seems to be trapped in this kind of spiral into turmoil. You look at Asia, and you know, Hong Kong and China are having this kind of battle over control. And you know, they closed down the Hong Kong airport. The Chinese army seems to be taking a stronger stance against these protests. You still have the U.S.-China trade war, which I don't know if this gets resolved anytime soon. The Fed cuts the interest rate by 0.25%, sort of telegraphing what some of us know, that the U.S. economy isn't necessarily as good as some would hope. So what I'm trying to say is I think there's all these sort of chaotic events going on that are sort of negative. And, you know, you're finally starting to see gold be recognized as a safe haven. So I think you're right. And, you know, the higher that gold price goes indicates, you know, that complexity that we see in the global financial market. And, you know, I think people, especially in that are financially minded, will be looking to put their money, you know, maybe out of the broader market. And, you know, with the gold price as high as it is, I think it's kind of intuitive that a gold producer might be a good avenue for investment, basically to make money while this turmoil is going on. And then in effect, I think from there, it sort of has a trickle down effect into the juniors, as I think if you look at the lineup of development projects in any of the seniors portfolios, you know, it's very thin. And they're going to need to go into the junior market to expand those in the future.
Now, what about the balance, too, between what is driving the gold price? And that is more of this fear trade, especially in the U.S., as we have yield curve inversions almost across the board. Money does flow into these safe haven assets because people are worried. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to flow into the stocks, because those are also considered fairly risky. So if we do get, let's say, a recession, to me, at least, it's hard to believe that the gold stocks are going to be able to to brush aside this sell-off that we see pretty much across the board when recessions do hit. How are you balancing out now these recession fears, but also, again, seeing gold move higher on the back of that fear trade?
Well, you know, it's unfortunately, it's maybe for commentating sake, it's much of the same for me. I really try to tune it out in terms of how it affects how I invest in the market. My kind of outlook remains the same in what do I expect from my investments. And while I do pay attention to what's going on in the world, and I do try to, you know, guess about where it may be headed, I still have the same fundamental approach in how I look at stocks and then what also drives them. So, you know, all that stuff is happening around the world. And of course, none of us have any real control over it. But what you do have control of is what companies you put your money into. And you can take a look at that company and analyze it from the perspective of its fundamentals and say, okay, well, what's going to drive this share price forward, regardless of what's going on in the periphery? And I think as long as you have a bunch of criteria for why that stock is going to go up, I think you stick to it. And, you know, ultimately, whether we're in a high gold price environment or a low gold price environment, I think you'll ultimately be successful. I know that may not be the most popular way to look at it, but to me, that's the only way that I can, you know, control my emotion and, you know, remain profitable consistently.
You know what? It's all about doing your own due diligence, right? Everybody kind of wants that bull market that just lifts every stock where you can just almost throw a dart at a wall and whatever stock that lands on, it will go up. We're not quite in that environment yet for the precious metals, and that's why it's important to analyze these stocks. But also one trend that we have seen in the last couple weeks, maybe the last month or so, has been more financings announced from good companies, but you know what? Also some financings from generally weaker companies, especially if you do that due diligence. What or how important is it for you right now in terms of driving stocks forward? The companies already have money in the bank.
Yeah, cash is always a huge point for me, and it gives me a sense of if the company can execute on the plans that they have. And it also gives me a level of safety to say, okay, you know, let's say the company has $10 million. And their drill program is going to cost five. Then at least I know I've got probably a $5 million level of safety built into that stock, which doesn't mean it can't go below, let's say, a $5 million market cap. But it's a level of safety to say that this company can go out there and take another shot. You know, they're not a one-trick pony in terms of their chances to execute on what their vision is for their project. So cash is still a huge thing for me, and I think it should be on any investor's mind when they contemplate an investment in a junior resource company.
Hey, I agree. And also be watching those drill programs, because right now is, for the most part, drilling season, especially for North America and the Northern Hemisphere in general, plus also some of those hotter areas down south that can actually get some drilling done at this time. So we are going to be seeing a lot of drill results coming out in the next about 2 to 3 months. Now, Brian, let's talk about a site visit that you're recently on from Radisson Mining. Radisson Mining does have a project in Quebec in that Abitibi region. It's not as advanced, but it is a historic producer. The O'Brien mine, it produced just over 500,000 ounces. What was initially a takeaway that you had from Radisson? Because in full disclosure, I am not up to date on this story. So let's get into it a little bit.
Sure. And in full disclosure, I am now an owner of of shares in Radisson. The first thing that you notice is the infrastructure. You know, this is a past producing gold mine. It sits roughly about a 5-minute drive up a dirt road off the main highway. There's existing infrastructure on site, and that's actually where the company has their main office. It's a relatively new management team. They took over the company a couple of years ago, and right from the start, they recognized the need to hire some specialized geologists, mainly a structural geologist that was going to model the existing deposit and basically direct where they were going to apply when they had the money. Their drills. So they started their presentation off with this great 3D model of the deposit, showing the primary and secondary structures that were controlling the mineralization. And to me, they did a really good job of highlighting where the high-grade mineralization was and the fact that they had modeled this thing correctly. And they've even overlapped it with the old mining workings to show that their model has some validity to it. But of course, the drill bit will be the ultimate validator of their model as they target this high-grade gold at depth, so you know, much deeper than the existing deposit.
So when it comes to drilling, what sort of a drill program do you know that they have planned? And again, it comes down to funding. How much funding do they have for it?
Sure. So just before we visited, they closed a $6 million financing, which is both in hard and flow-through dollars, I believe. So they're going to use a portion of those proceeds to go after this 20,000-meter drill program, which they just announced this week. So they've got drills mobilizing to their high-priority targets, which, you know, they're going to be fairly deep holes that they plunge first, looking for this high grade.
Now I'm going through the capital structure here on their presentation, and they have 137 million shares outstanding, but a very interesting mix of where these shares are held. The public float, only 27%, private investors, 36%, management and insiders, I like to see this number, that's at 13%, and then a spattering of all around 5% and under and some other stronger hands. What takeaway or what insights did you have in terms of these private investors and the overall share structure?
Yeah, what I liked most about the share structure is where the warrants and warrants are. Basically, I wanted to take a look and see, okay, if these guys are successful with their drill program, my share is going to be flooded with a bunch of paper that are trying to sell the news. And if you look at the share structure right now, they did their last small financing last December. And so those are free trading, and that's at a higher price. And then secondly, the first set of warrants that are coming due, again, are at a higher price, which I believe are maybe closer to 30 cents. And they're due in January of 2020. So we're going to get results probably in mid-September and along there, probably leading up to the end of the year. And I like the chances of this stock moving just because they're not going to have that over pressure from a bunch of paper wanting to come into the market.
All right, let's also talk about the current resource that they have. We already talked about historic production at just over 500,000 ounces, but the current resource in terms of indicated, we have about 200, just under 300 ounces of gold at, well, just under 10 grams per ton. So a very nice high grade resource there. And then an inferred resource of 145 ounces at about 7.3 grams per ton. So it's not the largest resource by any means right now, but it does sound like there's some exploration potential. How do you view this current resource combined with that exploration potential?
Yeah, I think it's a great starting point. The fact that it was a past producing mine, and then the fact that they've been able to couple their model, you know, with those existing resources and drill holes, couple them together, I think it gives it, you know, a higher probability of success in some regard as they start to go deeper on this structure. And the other thing to note is, I think it's going to be talked about more and more, is, you know, these Abitibi gold deposits are synonymous with deep high-grade gold. And LaRonde, Agnico Eagle's mine in the area, you know, they're down at 3,100 meters, which is incredibly far. So I think, you know, the thesis is correct for what they're looking for. And the fact that they have the basis of where they need to target pretty much wrapped up in my mind, I think there's a high chance for success in this drill program.
Okay. Hey, well, some interesting comments, and clearly this site visit caught your attention because, as you mentioned, you are now a shareholder. Can you take us through some of the key aspects, and I know a lot of it does come down to drill results, fine, but some of the key aspects that you're going to be watching as news comes out to whether you hold the shares, add to your position, or liquidate your position?
Sure. So basically what I'm looking for in the first round of drill results is, you know, it looks like they've prioritized their targets. So we should be getting their best hits first. And so what I'm looking for is, you know, grams per ton in the range of what you were talking about, like, you know, that depending on what cutoff you use, but, you know, in that 7 to 10 gram per ton range, for hits. And, you know, they looks like you get depth with these. They aren't the longest or widest of targets, but they go deep. And so I'm looking for that similar mineralization that they've had in the existing mine. For me, I would take some off the plate if they do get those results, but we'll be willing to hold for more to see how big this could actually get as we move along.
All right, Brian, we're going to wrap it up there. I do appreciate some of your insights on a new holding that you just took. And something to note is that it's not like the shares have run after you took your position. There are some drivers in the near term, but this will be kind of a new story that you have really just enlightened me to. So I'm going to reach out to the company and see if I can get them on the show for a general update. And if anybody out there listening either holds a position or has some more information or just has some questions for this company, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Happy to open up a little bit of a discussion with you and the company to either get your questions answered or focus on the part of the company that really has you paying attention. Brian, great chatting with you. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Corey.